Okay, Bezat Hashem, we're speaking from the holy Yeshiva Bechut Shel Chesed in Yerushalayim. I'm Reuven Levy. We're learning the book, Began HaShalom, The Garden of Peace, from Rav Shalom Arush Shlita. We are in chapter 3, page 61 in the Hebrew version. We're learning a new topic. We're learning a topic that is one of the most important topics that our husband needs to know. It's very simple. Very simple topic, it's a very simple idea, but it has very deep and profound consequences. The idea is simple: to make your wife number one, to put her in first place above everything else. So yesterday we finished telling, we were towards the end of the story that Rav Arush told about a wife who came to him with a husband because they were having shalom bayit problems. And the wife had a long list of complaints. Anyway, she read the first one. The first complaint on her long list was that her husband never came home on time. He said he was going to come home at 8 o'clock. He never came home. So she couldn't get to her shiur. She couldn't do what she wanted. Rav asked the husband, "No, what's going on here? How come you're not home on time?" And the guy said, "Look, the truth is, she's right. I often don't get home on time, but it's all for good reason. It's for parnasa. It's for the needs of the home. All for good reasons." I've told him, "That's your mistake. You think that it's a good reason. But the reality is, you're missing something fundamental. Your wife is still more important than all of these reasons." Zu ta'ut shelcha. This is your mistake, the Rav writes. Shebiglala ta sovel mi bebayot shel shalom bayit. Hagorot imam sawot suot. This is your mistake, he said, that as a result of this mistake, you're suffering with poor shalom bayit and a lot of suffering. You didn't put your wife in the first place, in the priority in your life. Isukim shelcha yoter chashuvim mimena. Okay, so the Rav is saying here, Isukim shelcha, your business, yoter chashuvim mimena, vein lecha et hayesod. You think that your business is more important than your wife. And you don't have the principle that if your wife needs you, you didn't grasp the fundamental principle that if your wife needs you, you drop everything and you do whatever she needs. Hisbarti lebaal, I explained to the baal, says Rav Arush, shetzarish ishto tiyeh chashuva beinav yoter mikol devar bolam. But it's his wife needs to be important in his eyes more than anything in the world. Yoter mikol adam, more than any other person in the world. Yoter mikol esek, more than any business or anything like that. And if he really felt that, it's clear that he would never push off her needs for the sake of something else. Chashuv kachol shia, no matter how important the other thing was. But lozu bilvad, not only that, shayaba vizman shekavu, not only that, that when he would come home at the time that he agreed, ela yao sezo. He would do it with a goodwill and happiness. Because it would be truly important to him. How does a person know? It's one thing to know the principle that a wife is meant to be in the first place. I understand that my wife is meant to be first place and I need to drop everything and do what she wants. Yofi. It's a good start. how do I know if I'm really doing that properly? I'm doing that properly if when I drop everything and do what my wife needs, I do it with happiness. I'm actually happy to do it. I don't do it because I'm forced to do it. I've got no choice. That's what I'm meant to do. That's what Rav Sharon says I have to do. So fine, if I have to do it, I'll do it. I'll drop everything and I'll come home. And I'll look after the kids so that you can go to your shiur. There you go. Are you happy? No, she's miserable. Why? Because I'm not doing it with a good heart. If I truly internalize the idea that my wife is the most important thing, then I'm happy to have the opportunity to do that. As my avodat Hashem, I'm happy to do what Hashem wants. Hashem wants me right now to drop everything and run home to my wife. Yofi, that's the greatest thing in the world. Right? So if I do it with joy and happiness, then I know that actually I've got the idea. Okay. I explained to him further, says the Rav. That if he thinks about all the list of things that his wife wrote down, all the points of complaints and problems that she was having with her husband, if he looks at this list, he's going to see that every complaint she has against him, all the suffering she has from him, all of it is on account of the fact that she feels that she's not number one in his life. The whole list, everything on there has the same root. You clear up this problem, you clear it up at the root. It comes out in lots of different ways. She's upset that I don't do this, she's upset that I don't do that, she's upset that I don't. All these things that she's upset that I don't do, or that she's upset that I do this, she's upset that I don't speak to the kids enough, that I don't wash the dishes, that I don't. It's all grounded in the fact that she feels I'm not treating her right. Can huma daber ita ba'rosh shelo b'makom echad? Here he spoke to her and his head is now in a different place. Can hu shochech la'asot dvar asoy? We're talking about the list that he wrote. So what is the problem with the list? So the list is saying things like he doesn't pay attention to her, he's not doing what she wants, etc. So here, Rav explains, Huma Dabeita, here he's speaking to her and his head is somewhere else completely. Right? That's why your wife doesn't think, he doesn't speak to me enough. He doesn't spend time with me. I had a common complaint of a wife. He doesn't spend enough time with me. What are you talking about? I don't spend enough time with you. I'm 5 hours every night. That's not enough time. How much more time do you want? You say everything you want to say to me. There's nothing left to do. 5 hours every single night. But what's the problem? His head's not there. I'm not actually listening. There's a difference between sitting there nodding and smiling and actually listening. But you know what? Our wives know the difference. For us, we don't really care. Right? You're chatting to your friend over coffee, right? And you're just having a chat. And he's half listening, half not listening. He's playing with his phone. He's looking out the window when he's talking to you. And you don't really care. Right? That's because we're guys. We don't really care. But you know what? A woman notices. And she cares. She notices if I've got one eye on the phone. Right? And even more so in Chas V'Shalom, it's one of those smartphones with email and all that nonsense, right? That every 5 minutes, I don't know if you've ever been to a person who has that email on his phone and every 5 minutes it beeps and he looks it in and, oi voi, right? And you and me think oi voi. You can imagine how his wife thinks, right? She is number two, if she's lucky, way behind this little miniature gadget in his pocket. That's number one. It's clear that it's number one. Why? Because whenever he's speaking to his wife and it beeps, he stops speaking to her and looks at the phone. That's far more important. Right? And even for us, when the phone rings, it's not necessary. If I'm in the middle of speaking to my wife, I don't have to answer the phone. What, somebody phoning me randomly from outside could be anything. Right? Could be any random person Right, that person, whoever it is, I don't even know who it is now apparently more important than my wife. I don't even know who this person is. It's just the phone is ringing. You know what? I leave her and I go and answer the phone. Hello? What's the order of priorities here? Normally what I do is, if the phone rings and I'm speaking to my wife, I ignore it completely. If she says to me, do you want to get that? I say, fine. Right? If she wants to get it, that's also fine. I'm not picking it up. I'm not moving. My job is not to move right now. It's certainly not to run to the phone if I'm in the middle of speaking to her. Oh wait, they'll call back. It's got an answer machine, they'll leave a message. If you're in the bathroom, it will also, they'd also wait. They'd also call back, right? So in the bathroom, they're gonna wait for you, but if you're speaking to your wife, they're not gonna wait. They'll wait. She's number one. He chashva she'ulai Himagzima Badui Shoteha Kape Bala. Now I've lost the flow. Hold on, no. I missed the line out, that's why. No, I missed the whole section out. Okay, can we shokhek la son dvarin? She big shami menu. Here he forgot to do things which she asked. Right? One of her complaints is when he goes to the store, he always forgets stuff. Right? Why is that suddenly a big complaint? Everybody forgets stuff. And she's now upset that I forgot to buy the plastic spoons when I was in the shop and I got 20 different things and I forgot the plastic spoons. He's always forgetting something. Okay, it's not the biggest complaint in the world. How does she take it? She takes it that I don't care. She asked me to do it and I wasn't listening. I wasn't paying attention. So I didn't do it. Why? Because I don't care. She asked me to take out the garbage. I happened to be busy with something when she was telling me, so I didn't hear it. One in one ear and out the other, I didn't hear at all. I missed it, I forgot about it, and I didn't do it. She gets really upset. Why? It's not because I didn't take out the garbage. The fact is she's upset because she thinks I'm not listening to her, that I'm not important in her eyes. If I was really important in his eyes, she thinks, he'd actually listen to me, and it would be important for him to do it. Happening me much, shall call Hatakalot Halalu. I did use my finger in the place. Happening me much, shall call Hatakalot Halalu. He is Sheishto, he lochashuba, beinav, your termiko. So the inner part, the roots of all of these issues that the wife has with the husband, the problem is that really. She's not so important in his eyes. Umimela, komine dvarim, amasikim oto, emetzlo, usulam hadifot lifnei ishto. And really what's happening is, all the things that the husband is dealing with, they're really just a ladder of preferences, right? And they come before his wife. So what does it mean? So for example, right now, I need to send an email. My wife's talking to me and she tells me that, by the way, when you go to the super later, don't forget to pick up a can of beans. But I'm in the middle of an email. So what? Why do you tell me while I was in the middle of an email? I couldn't hear, I wasn't concentrating. That's why I forgot it. Truth is, I'm in the middle of an email, I put the email above her. So when she was speaking, I carried on doing my email. Because my email was more important. My mistake is, my email for me was more important. And to rectify that, is my wife starts speaking, she wants to ask me a question. Even if it's, do you want a cup of tea? I stop what I'm doing, give her my full attention, which she's completely 100% finished, then I can go back. And not until then. That is putting my wife first, completely. That's the meter that I need to work on. I'm not saying it's easy. We've been trained for the last 20, 30, 40 years not to do that. I've been trained that whatever I want to do right now is the most important thing. Whatever I want to do right now. But right now for me, the most important for me is, I don't know, whatever is interesting to me right now. I'm in the middle of reading this really good thing. Right? I'm in the middle of reading a Rav Shalom book, and I'm to a really exciting chapter. So, whatever it is. Some people read newspapers, apparently. Yeah? But where does your wife fit in? Wait till I've finished reading the sports results and then I'll speak to you. It's not correct. It's not right. Okay. Yeah, must be. Okay. But we may let cut another map. This finds its expression in all of these things. Right? This is the root of all the problems. The woman who was listening to this conversation, right? The woman who came to see him with this list of complaints against her husband. She was surprised at how important this principle was, how it encompassed everything. It was the central thing. She was shocked at how this was the root of all her problems. She didn't even know it herself. She just had a list of problems. She thought, I don't like the fact he leaves his stuff on the floor. He leaves his socks on the floor, and I told him 100 times not to do that. He never listens to me while he's reading the newspaper. I can't, but whatever it is, he doesn't listen to me while I'm speaking to him. All of these problems, she doesn't even know that they're actually based on the same thing. She doesn't understand why she feels so much pain when he's home late, or when he forgets to pick something up from the super, right? And the husband is there thinking, why are you so upset about this? It's not a big deal. And she herself is thinking, why is this so annoying for me? Why am I so upset? Because he forgot the plastic spoons. But it really hurts. And she doesn't realize what's really hurting. The root is what's really hurting. The root is, he doesn't care about me. He doesn't love me. That's what really hurts. Nothing to do with plastic spoons. Plastic spoons, nobody gives a monkey's about. But to think that my husband doesn't love me, oi, that hurts. Aval Kesheshmad Pinimot had et Shalad Voim. But when she understood the inner root of all these things, she understood exactly what was upsetting her so much. She felt that she was not the most important thing in his life. And this is something that she couldn't suffer. Wife cannot stand that idea. And that is what causes most of the problems. Certainly the criticism, for sure. Right? But a person who's not even criticizing, I'm not doing anything, I'm being really nice to her. But I haven't got shalom by it. Why haven't I got shalom by it? Why is my life not gan eden? Because I'm really not putting up my mash above everything, first place.
Initially, it must have made things worse on both sides. Number one, he realized that he's not making her. Putting her in first place,
right.
And then according to what he wrote in this paragraph, she for the first time realizes, the reason all this is happening
is you're not putting me right.
In first place.
Right.
Now, I'm really going to go at it.
The truth is, the truth hurts, right? There's always a stage of pain that we need to go through. Whenever we uncover something new that's true, that we need to work on, it's painful, which is why we avoid it, right? We know that we need to improve in our midot, and we know that we have to work on our traits that aren't so good. And we do cheshbon nefesh, and we do it bodedut, and we look for the things that we need to improve upon. But what stops us? Because in reality, someone tells you, you know what? This is causing you a problem. Just change it. Like anyone who's learning any job, and the boss comes to him and says, you don't do it like that. You're learning how to use a computer and it's not working. So someone comes and shows you, say, this is what you're doing wrong. Just do it like this, it'll work. Fantastic, you're off it. Great, wonderful. You're happy to know what's wrong. You're happy to fix it. You know it's gonna help you. It's gonna be really good. And everything's good. You're eager to know what the problem is so you can fix it and everything can be much better. But that doesn't work with us when we need to fix our bad midot. Why? Because there's a stage that we have that we don't have when someone's teaching you how to use a computer. There's a stage of feeling really bad about the truth, recognizing that I actually have been messing up a lot, right? And that's the bit we don't want to go through. So that's the bit we avoid, and that's the bit which stops us from actually moving forward. To admit that we did wrong, and to feel the pain of having done something wrong, and that pain is what's going to motivate me to change. What's the problem? If I realize, after having read this book, this page, this chapter, that actually I haven't been paying my wife attention. You know what? We sit down and we speak at least half an hour every day when I come back from yeshiva, come back from work, and I speak to my wife. She tells me everything that's going on in the day. The truth is, I'm listening with one ear. It's not so interesting for me. What she did, talk, she went shopping, Yofi, she spoke to this friend, Yofi, she spoke to her mom, Yofi. And I'm listening with one ear and I'm nodding and going, that's interesting. But if the truth be told, I'm not paying her full attention. How do I fix that problem? I know it's a problem. I accept it, I recognize it. But you know what? The truth is, the siren doesn't want the truth. This is the bit that hurts. Right? The truth is, and I think we're ready for this, so I think I can say it between us. We don't want to listen. The truth is, I'm not interested in giving you my full attention. I don't want to. If I wanted to, I wouldn't be doing it. I do what I want to do, and I don't do what I don't want to do. It's just a simple rule, right? If I wanted to give you my full attention, I would be doing that right now. And I'm not interested in the fact that you ran into the neighbor in the super and they told you that the son's having a bar mitzvah next week. And Tom, Yuffy, very nice, but it's not something I want to give my full attention to. It doesn't interest me. How do I get around that problem? Right? It's a problem with all our traits. If you look carefully to anything we do, anything we're doing wrong right now, I'm doing it because I want to do it. Why haven't I changed? Because I don't want to change. Quite like the situation.
We're stuck into a rut.
No, we're not stuck into a rut. We're happy in our rut. We're very happy where we are. The reason I haven't changed, the reason I'm not listening to my wife, and this is an example, and take it to wherever you want, the reason I'm not listening to her is because I don't want to listen to her. I don't want to. I'm not interested. Just don't want to. How do I make that huge change that I now want to listen to her? I've got to want to do it before I can change. I can't do anything I don't want to. How do I now want to listen to her? This is the hard bit. I need to feel the pain that I'm causing her. I need to truly see what I'm doing here. If I truly understood the pain that I was causing her, I would change in a minute. I don't want to cause anyone that pain. I really don't. But I don't see her pain. I ignore her pain. I don't see it at all. It's just not on my radar. So why should I change? I've got no motivation. I've got no reason to change. What do I need to do? I need to go through the pain of realizing what pain I'm causing. And that gives me the motivation to change. It's not a simple concept. It's a deep concept, but it's a true concept. It's something worth thinking about. Think about it in his body dirt. Think about how it applies to you in your life. And it's actually a very powerful tool. What gets us out of any rut. The rut we're stuck in is only because we don't see what damage we're doing. And whether it's damage in something, in sinning, I'm not keeping Shabbos, I don't see what damage I'm doing. I don't see what damage I'm doing to myself, to my neshama, to other people. If I truly appreciated it, if a person truly appreciated what damage he's doing to himself when he smokes, wouldn't do it, but he hides it. You know what damage you're doing? Yeah. He doesn't want to hear. Because it's too painful. If I saw the pain I was causing, I'd stop immediately. I used to make fun of people. When I was a kid, I was a teenager, I was very sarcastic. In Britain, in England, you make jokes by making jokes out of people. And the biggest the person who has the most wit, it's called wit. Sarcasm is really cool. It's called putting someone down in a funny way that other people laugh.
Like Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Maybe, maybe not, but it's at someone else's expense. Like someone walks into the room and you say, "What are you wearing? Oi!" And everyone laughs. Now I'm right. I used to do that, keenly to make friends. I was quite witty, sharp, I would make, right? I never realized at all, because that's just the circles I moved in. Once I had a friend, had a cousin, a relative came in from overseas. She's not English. It wasn't normal for her. Anyway, she was telling me something, and I made a joke of it. She looked at me and she said, "Why did you say that? That's very hurtful." Blew me away, nearly fell off the chair. I'm about 17 years old. From then on, believe it or not, I didn't stop immediately. I tried to, I didn't realize what I was doing. And once I realized actually the hurt that was causing, and I could stop. Up until then, who needs to stop? I'm making jokes, everybody likes me, I'm the center of attention. Why do I want to stop doing this? It's great. So that's a shame, we'll continue tomorrow.